This is HPR episode 2678 entitled, Explaining the Controls on My Amateur HF Radio Part 4, and is part of the series, HAM Radio, QSK. It is hosted by Mr. X, and is about 16 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in this episode I cover the first four receiver section controls of the TS-940s.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X, and welcome to this podcast. As usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available to us all. HPR is a community-led podcast created by the community for the community. That means you can get involved too and contribute. You just pick up a microphone and record. You can use a phone, a tablet, a laptop, a computer if you've got such a thing. I'm sure you must have something interesting to say. Okay, so this is the next part in my series of the controls of my amateur radio Kenwood TS-940S. This would be the last section, that we cover the receiver section of the radio, but as the receiving is the main function of the actual unit, it was a bit more complicated than I expected, and it was getting a bit long, so I split it into two. So there's one more final part after this, so there should be five parts in total. At least this one isn't too long, though it is rather waffly, so hopefully you won't all fall asleep. Anyway, sit back and enjoy. So, now on to the final section, the receive section of the radio. And the first row, the first knob in the top row has a dual function. It's got an outer ring and an inner ring. And the outer ring, you may be familiar with, is for squelch. SQL, and it actually, if you've got a strong enough signal, bizarrely, I didn't think you could really use squelch on sideband stations, but you can. It does actually work. Again, clever circuitry. I'll see if I can find a station and get it to operate. Let's just see if I just turn the, where's the volume? I've lost the volume. Maybe with the volume, yes. So, see if we can find a station. Sounds German. So if I turn the squelch on, now that just turn it on to a wee touch. That's a squelch fully up, but what it does is it has a very slow. When you're on sideband, it has a very slow activation, so it's only if the signal drops for a number of seconds that the squelch then cuts in and silences things. But it doesn't, once the signal gets weak, it does tend to struggle a little bit. Now, I can simulate that, I think, if I knock in a bit of attenuation. Let's just see. There you go. Oh. Oh. So there's actually so much noise in the band that it's still cutting in and out, so. There you go, that's it gone quiet. Open the squelch again. Yeah, so it's not terribly useful on sideband, and I don't use it generally speaking. But if you use it, it is useful on AM or FM now. So if I give you an example of, if we go to FM, you get this noise all the time, and if I turn the squelch up, there you go, open, close. So that's like. You know, it's like on CB or something that you turn a squelch up and it stops it, that noise coming through all the time. So that's squelch. Handy for FM and AM, but fairly useless on sideband. You can use it. You can on a strong signal. You can use it. I have used it in the past. Right, let's turn that off and turn the squelch down. Yeah. So the next the inner control is for notch, and I'm not sure how much I can. I'm going to carry on with this because this is getting quite long. This episode, but notch allows you to notch out a tone, or if you let's say you were talking to a station and a Morse code station came in. Underneath, and it would be quite annoying, or even just a single tone. You get tones coming up. If somebody transmits keys up, you get a carrier, a tone, a whistle, and you can take that out with a notch filter. So I'll see if I can find a Morse code station, and I'll try it notching it out. So let's see if we can find one now. Let's see. Give me a second. Now, better still, can you, oh no, the tone's gone. Well, there's a tone there, for example. So let's see if we can notch that out. Oh, well, that's probably somebody tuning the radio, actually tuning it up. So I'll put the notch filter in and listen for his tone. Oh, he stopped. Typical. right. Just trying to get a tone that I can try and get rid of. There's a tone and Morse code. Now I'll try and notch that out. So there you go, that's it out. That's a filter. That's it off. Okay, it's a notch in now. You can hardly hear the tone. Back on again. Off. There you go. So basically, what that does is a very narrow audio filter, which you can tune. So you can shift it up and down the audio spectrum. So let's say you tune it so that at 1,000 hertz, so 1 kilohertz, I should say, 1 kilohertz, it'll maybe 1,000, maybe it's 100 hertz wide, so at 1,050 and 950 hertz, that's a width of 100 hertz, anything between 950 and 1,050 gets reduced in an amplitude and notches it out. But you can adjust the frequency of that notch up and down so that you can take out a single tone. Of course, if the tone changes to another frequency, or if you've got two tones, then you're stuffed. With modern amateur equipment, the they can, these notch filters can follow a moving tone and do clever things like that, and clever digital signal processing and whatnot. So things have moved on since this early radio, where you've got to do these sort of things manually with a manual notch. Just do that again. So we've got another one. There, another station. And he stopped. Now another station's come in. So that's off, loud, quiet. Yeah, so it's not perfect, but yeah, so we'll be here all day. That's a notch filter, quite useful that, actually. So next control along the top panel, you've got pitch and AF tune, and that's to do with adjusting the pitch and tone of a CW station. I haven't used that very much because I don't do CW. I can't do CW. As I said before, I know about 80% of the alphabet, so that's not terribly good. You did to tell the person, I can't have a conversation because I don't know that letter you just sent. this is getting a few long-winded, isn't it? Right, next row down from those two knobs, the top knobs on the right-hand side, there's 5 latching buttons. RIT, receive... Where is it? I'm trying to find the button. Where is it? RIT. Oh, yes. Yes. So, RIT, receive IT, internal tune? I should know what that stands for. But, basically, normally when you're operating the radio, if you're sitting on a frequency, say you're sitting on 7.1 megahertz and you're talking to a station and another station comes in, but now he's a wee bit off and he sounds a bit too high or a wee bit too low, you've got to tune the big main tuning knob so that you can hear him properly. But if you do that, then you'll move your transmitter, and in the station you're talking, then that'll upset the other station you're talking to, who's listening to you, because it expects you to stay on the frequency you were talking on. Even a minor change quite dramatically changes the audio. So I'll give you an example of that. So if I go, let's see. You can never find a station when you want it, eh? So there you go. So that doesn't sound right, does it? Sounds like Pinky and Perky. So, if you were to adjust your frequency, then that's how you would might sound to the other station, if you were trying to tune your radio to listen to the second person who called in. So you don't want to adjust your transmit frequency at all. So pushing the RIT button in, it allows you to change the frequency of your receiver slightly to your without affecting the transmitter. So if you push the RIT button in, then you got a beep, and RIT appears on the main display. And when you turn there's a knob below the RIT, and it's got RIT/XIT, and it's got a plus and minus on it. And if you turn it, then it changes the frequency of the receiver, but it will not touch the transmitter. And in fact, what happens is the main display, also the frequency changes, and you're next to that, there's two wee digits, and they go up to tell you how many kilohertz you've shifted. So I'm currently 5 kilohertz above where I was sitting before, but the transmitter will not have moved. So I can twiddle that to my heart's content, and it doesn't affect where I'm transmitting. And what I can do is, there's three of us having this conversation, me, Jimmy, and Shuggy. And if Shuggy calls in, I can stab that RIT button, tune him in, listen to him, and then when Jimmy talks, stab that button and it jumps back to where I was before, so I can hear Jimmy okay. And likewise, when Shuggy talks, I push that button and it flips back to the other frequency, so I can hear Shuggy. And I can flip that button back and forward all day and never touch my transmit frequency. So it's very, very useful. You can do a similar thing with a transmit, but you'd never want to adjust your transmit frequency, so I've never used that button. And I think we'll close at that and carry on, because it's getting quite long, the recording. That's enough for now. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I'll leave it at that. I don't think I've got anything else to say. Hope I haven't bored you too much. If you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr.googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You will produce a show.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.